Welcome to Fresh Catholic, a podcast for those who are converting, reverting, or simply want a fresh perspective of the Catholic faith to help them to open their hearts and minds to become closer to the love and goodness of Christ. My daily prayer is that I will be a bright light to others, to be filled with the love and light of Christ, so that when people look at me, they see Him radiating out from me for His glory. Hello and welcome. I'm so happy you're here. Today we're finally to the conversion episode. I'm so happy about this. This is one of my favorite things to talk about is my conversion. And I know a lot of other people I've spoken to, it's something they really like to talk about as well. So I'm looking forward to having people come on and tell their conversion stories as well. Some of the things that I would typically put in this part of my story, I'm going to save for other episodes. So those will be coming down the road. In the last episode, I was telling you that my 25-year marriage ended and I had to reevaluate what I was going to do with my life. I was reunited with a boy, call him a boy, from Ojai, and fell in love really quickly. I had to sell my house, and so I had to move out. And we ended up moving in together very quickly. And that wasn't probably the best idea, but it was what it was. And that is my present-day husband, Simon Balderas. He had turned away from the Catholic Church for about 20 years. And he was going to these Christian churches. And he had asked me, knowing that I was Christian and didn't really have a church I was affiliated with, he wanted to know if I wanted to go to what I call a rah-rah Christian church. And I said, no, absolutely not. I wasn't interested at all. That wasn't what I was looking for. Nothing against it. For the people that go there, if it makes them happy, I'm happy for them. Whatever people want to do to find the Lord in their life is fine with me. It just wasn't for me. So Simon does a lot of traveling with his work. And so when he and I got together, I would follow him on some of his work trips. And so I got to go to places I'd never really got to go before that I was really excited about, like New York and Chicago. I found out I'm a city girl. I just loved to travel with Simon. It was so much fun. One of the places we went to while he was traveling for filming was we went to Canada, and we were staying there. It was very beautiful, and I really liked it. And Simon and I really like to go to museums, and we both really like architecture. And so we were just kind of wandering around this beautiful place. I really enjoyed it. And we went walking into a church, and we were looking around, and I just couldn't believe how different I felt when I walked into this church. It was so beautiful and dark wood and candles glowing. And I just got this like really warm, rich feeling that just kind of came over me. And I said to Simon, oh, I love this place. I love this church. And he said, well, this is a Catholic church. And I said, okay. And he said, do you want to try to go to the Catholic church when we get home? And I said, sure. Just like immediately, sure. I didn't walk in with like a preconceived notion of what I thought it would be or what it was. I didn't even know it was a Catholic church. I didn't even know what that really meant. I just knew when I walked in there that I just loved it in that church. And I just thought it was so beautiful. And it was more about how I was feeling in the church. So when we got home, he took me to this church in Ventura called Our Lady of the Assumption Church. And so we walk in and we sit in the back row, and I've never been to a Catholic church. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? Like, why are they standing? Why are they sitting? Why are they kneeling? How do they all know all those prayers? How are they all saying the same thing? And they all know exactly what they're doing. I was just fascinated by this. So then afterward, I was like, oh, I really like that. I thought that was great. And he said, well, would you like to come back? And I said, yes. And so when we came back, they announced that they were going to be having RCIA startup, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. This was going to start in a couple of weeks. And I looked at Simon and I said, what is that? And he said, well, you can't just like be Catholic. You can't just like walk in and say, hi, I'm Catholic now. You have to like work for it. You have to earn it unless you're born into it. And I said, oh, okay. So I thought, well, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think, do I want to do this RCIA thing, you know? So I went home, I Googled what it takes to be Catholic. And I was like, I need to see what criteria they have and if I can do this, because I don't like to start something if I can't give it everything, and I don't want to start something if I'm just going to do it halfway. So I looked it up, and there were these, you know, these guidelines, and I thought, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little hard, but I think I could do what's on this list. I think I want to do this. So I took it a little step farther, and I went to the bookstore, and I got this book that I think is one of the best books out there if you're thinking about converting, and it's called Catholicism for Dummies. And it's, you know, the bright yellow book. They have them for every subject practically. And I bought that and brought it home, and I still to this day reread it once a year during Lent, because I'm just constantly learning. And it really was an easy way to know what's expected of somebody becoming Catholic, because, you know, it's a lifestyle change. It's not something you turn off and on. It's not something that you, one week you're Catholic, the next week you're not Catholic, that throughout your day you can turn it off and on, or at least that's not what I want to do. So I got the book, and I really looked over everything and wanted to make a conscious, you know, examination of if I could do this. And I signed up for RCIA. I never missed a class. I soaked it all in. My teacher, Deacon Don, was just amazing and knowledgeable, and he's an educator, and you can tell when he's teaching this because he just has a really good and magnetic way of teaching. I was just like so fascinated by all this. I kind of couldn't get enough of Jesus. I really dove into this Catholicism idea. I decided I would go talk to my dad and tell him what my plans were, because my dad had turned away from the Catholic Church when he was younger, and I always want my dad's approval and everything. So I was really nervous to go tell him. And I went to his house and I sat down and I said, well, I have something I need to tell you. And God bless him. You know, he's heard that so many times from me, and it's not always been the best thing. He said, what's that? And I said, well, I'm becoming Catholic. And there was this pause, and I thought, oh, here it comes. And he says, well, I think that that's the best religion for you. And I was shocked. And I said, you do? And he said, yeah. He said, I think you love tradition. You love things to be very organized. You like things to be consistent. And you really love richness of things and, like, you know, beauty of art and really meaningful things. So he said, I think that sounds wonderful. And so I was so relieved, because that to me was just, that made me feel better. I mean, I would have done it anyway. He was very supportive of me. He ended up giving me all of our family Catholic artifacts. So my dad, you know, gave me like his confirmation certificate. He gave me my grandmother's rosary beads from when she was a child and when she was an old lady. I just really appreciated his support, and that really helped me. I ended up getting confirmed in 2014, and, you know, there's the buildup to that of, like, going to these classes, and you have all these chances where, you know, if you're not quite ready, you don't have to go through with it. You know, it's like they give you so many opportunities to say, I'm not going to do this, or I'm not ready yet, or maybe I'll come back to it. But, oh, boy, I was ready. I was so ready, and I just couldn't wait to become Catholic and to be able to receive the Eucharist and, you know, you have to go to confession for the first time before you can receive the Eucharist. So I remember going to confession, which I'd never been to in my life, and here I am 50 years old, and I went into the priest, and I said, well, I've never been to confession before, and I'm 50. I have a lot of things that I need to say. And I felt like I was in there for an hour. I had this very long list, and he was so patient with me, and I went through the whole list. And when I confessed all those sins, I immediately felt better. I was kind of skeptical going in, like, will it really make a difference? Will I really feel that different? And I did. I felt so much better. I felt so relieved. He wasn't giving me any judgy looks or anything. You know, you have a choice of sitting face-to-face or kind of hidden. I've always done face-to-face confessions because I feel like it's really hard to go to confession. You know, you feel bad. And I feel like if I'm going to do it, I want to look the priest right in the eye, and it makes it more real. And then when you get your penance and you're absolved of your sins, you're also looking at him in his face. And every time I look at the priest and he's forgiving my sins, I'm actually feeling like I'm looking at Jesus and not looking at the priest. So it's just very emotional, and it makes me feel really good that I do it face to face. So after confession, then I could receive the Eucharist. I was thinking, oh, you know, like, how's this going to be? How's this going to feel? Is it really going to be a change? I just had all these questions, and it was, you have a lot of nerves, you know, like in anything exciting that's going to happen. And so when I received the Eucharist for the first time, I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, now I have Jesus actually inside of me. Like, that's very amazing and serious in a good way. And then when I drank the precious blood for the first time, it was just miraculous. It's like, you can't really explain it. I'm wondering if people that would receive the Eucharist or the precious blood and aren't prepared or aren't Catholic, and they're just doing it because they think it's like a symbol, or just thinking they should, you know, that they want to try it for whatever reason, I'm thinking that they probably don't have the same profound feeling that you have when you just are really just in complete surrender and believing that this is for sure the body and blood of Christ. For lack of a better word, it's just a miraculous feeling, and that's what I felt. When you get confirmed or baptized in the Catholic Church as an adult, then you have earned your way into the Catholic Church, and it's a process. It's not overnight. It's a very long process, but very worthwhile, because the Catholic Church really wants you to know what you're getting yourself into, because, again, this is a lifestyle change. This isn't something that turns off and on, so once you go through the RCIA and you've, you know, committed yourself to Christ, then you are officially Catholic when you get confirmed. It kind of reminds me of, you know, when you have a birthday coming up and you think, oh my gosh, I'm getting ready to turn 50 years old. Oh my gosh, it's going to be so amazing. It's so wonderful. And then you have your 50th birthday, and the next day you're like, okay, so, you know, I don't know. Do I feel different? I felt the same as I did yesterday. I'm 50. I was kind of 50 yesterday. But, you know, when I became Catholic, it's like I definitely felt different the next day. I thought, okay, I'm very fresh Catholic. I was very fresh, but I did feel different. And I thought, I just felt like I had more of a responsibility. Like, I really needed to, you know, follow through with this and live this life. And what was it going to entail? And I just really wanted to do a good job with this. So like I said, Simon and I had moved in with each other pretty soon after we had gotten together. And when I decided to become Catholic, I decided that I would move out, because you're not supposed to live together when you're Catholic if you're not married. That was a difficult decision. I really, you know, loved him and wanted to be with him. It was really hard for me to move out and be separated from him. It was scary. It was lonely. I would spend time with him during the day. I would, you know, cook dinner with him, and then I would go back to my apartment. We did this for like over 2 years. And so I was back and forth, and it was not easy. It was very hard, but we both felt really dedicated to the fact that that's what we should be doing. And I think it's really funny one time because I saw a friend of mine. She's a very Christian lady, and she asked me one day, did you and Simon break up? And I said, no, why? And she goes, oh, well, but you don't live together anymore. And I said, no, we don't. And she said, why? And I said, well, because I'm becoming Catholic and you're not supposed to be living together if you're not married. And she said, well, who would know? And I said, God. God would know. And she goes, oh.
We'll be right back.
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken? Well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma at The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
I just thought that was hilarious. Anyway, so I moved back in with him the day after our wedding. So I like to always think that when I converted to Catholicism and became Catholic, that God kind of got a twofer. He got me to convert, and he got Simon to come back to the Catholic Church. So, yay. Simon and I got married in the Catholic Church, big, beautiful Catholic wedding. And I remember thinking, I wonder if this will feel any different than when I got married before, because of course I was married in a secular marriage, and I was thinking, you know, how different could it be? I mean, I don't know if it's really going to be that different. I'd like to think it's going to be, but you know, they keep saying it's a sacrament and, you know, it'll be different and all these things. So I have to say it was very different. You are being married civilly and legally, but then you're being married sacramentally, and it's for life. Again, I take things very seriously and want to do things the right way. It does feel different. It's not to be taken lightly, and it's something that's just, to me, extra meaningful. And I'll be talking more about marriage in another episode, because I'm a wedding coordinator at Our Lady of the Assumption Church, and so marriage and weddings are a part of my daily life. And I would like to talk about marriage further because I do think it's a really beautiful subject, and I would like to encourage it with people. Yeah, so then I started going to Mass, you know, once a week, and then it was every day. Maybe at the beginning it was like 5 or 6 days a week. In the first few years, I still was just still learning. I was reading a lot. And one of the things that my husband gave me that I thought was a really beautiful way to learn about the Catholic faith is the Catholicism series by Bishop Robert Barron. It's a series, and it really helped me to kind of learn about what the Catholic faith entails, and it's, you know, visual instead of a book. So that was something that I really turned to. And so coming into the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith was so different to me than my experiences with being a Christian when I first became a Christian. Being Catholic to me is so much more rich and meaningful. And I just feel it's so much more serious. And when I go to Mass, I really soak everything in. I just love everything about going to Mass. I laugh sometimes because when I started, first time I went into the Catholic Church, I sat in the back row. And now I want to be up close as I can to the altar. So I think that's funny that I started in the back and I didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, I was kind of intimidated by it. But then slowly over the years, I've gone closer and closer to the front so that I can be close to the crucifix and really look at Jesus and soak him in every time I go. It makes it more real for me. I really do love that everything in the church and in the Mass, everything has a meaning, everything has a reason why it's there. Like, you know, that's been really important to me. I'm a real visual person. I like to look at everything and know why is it there, and everything in the building and during Mass has a reason. That's something that's always been really important to me, where I know why the Stations of the Cross are there, why the crucifix is there, why there's a candle that's lit all the time in the building to show that Christ is in the building, where the tabernacle is, that Christ is in the tabernacle. All these different things just make it more meaningful to me and more real and rich. I like it that it's not a social event when I go to Mass. I like it that everybody's very reverent and really soaking in prayer and song. And I just think that's a really important part of it. It's not, you know, just kind of going in there frivolously. It's a little more thought out and meaningful. So that richness of the Catholic faith has been something that's really drawn me to it and kept me going. And just that closeness with Christ in the building and receiving the Eucharist and having him in my body afterward is just the most valuable thing to me. Becoming Catholic has been the best thing that's ever, ever happened to me. It's been the answer to everything. And it makes me kind of sad that I wasn't raised Catholic. I really wish that I could have been raised Catholic, but that's not what God's plan was. And it makes me think that because I became Catholic at the age of 50, I think that it means a lot to me. And it's like I'm in the right place and the right mindset to really soak it in and take it all in. And so, of course, God knew when it was supposed to happen. And, you know, I look back and I think, you know, if I would have stayed in that 25-year marriage, I would have never become Catholic. There would have been never a reason in the world for me to become Catholic, married to John. And so I know that being married to John drew me to become a Christian, and I'm grateful for that. But John and I breaking up and me getting together with Simon and going to Canada, that was the steps, you know, to get me to where I needed to be. I'm the only Catholic in my entire family. Like, there's no Catholics left. I'm the only one. As I've gone along year after year, becoming closer and closer to my journey with Christ and how I handle what's going on in my everyday life, you know, the differences of before I became Catholic and after, is it's just everything I do, it's such a part of my day now. It's like from the second I open my eyes in the morning, even before actually, I first thought I have in my head is, thank you, Lord, I love you so much. And then I have to do a prayer of gratitude. And my day starts from there. And I just incorporate Christ into my whole day throughout the day. He's there with me all the time. I feel really safe and secure with that. I don't feel like I'm ever alone. I feel that he's guiding me through every step. I pray throughout the day in my head and sometimes out loud. I'm a very regimented person with like a lot of consistency. And so I kind of do things very similar throughout the day. And I think that's a difference of, you know, since I've become Catholic, that I just make that such an important part of my day, but not where it's just meaningless. It's important, you know, and I really am consciously adding these things into my day. In my own mind, it makes me feel more accountable for sure. So I really consider every day what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, how I'm handling situations. I've definitely had failures. I've definitely stumbled and fallen a lot. I'm definitely a sinner. I definitely have moments of just, I know God shaking his head at me and, you know, just thinking, oh, again, Lori, again. But, you know, the beauty part is that he's always there to listen when I'm remorseful and sorry and when I go to confession, and he just, you know, he gives me chance after chance, and I wake up every day, you know, with an attitude of, I'm going to do better today. I'm going to try harder today. You know, I want to do things that make you proud of me, Lord. And, you know, I want to be a bright light to others so that they feel good when they're around me. I want to make good choices and decisions in my thoughts and my words and my actions. But, you know, I have a hard time with that. I have, you know, a bad temper. I have a bad attitude sometimes. I don't always treat people great. You know, I feel bad about that. But I feel like I'm getting better and better and better at dealing with those things that are my faults. And, you know, I just don't think I would be definitely where I am today. I've made such strides if I didn't have the accountability of God standing right with me. You know, I feel him with me all day, every day. When I'm sleeping, when I'm doing anything, he's right there with me. And that also helps for you to be more accountable because, you know, you don't want to mess up. And then, like I say, when I do mess up, I think, oh, you know, I got to try again. You know, it's like when you fall, you got to get back up. But God's there to like help you up and brush your knees off and give you a Band-Aid. And, you know, he wants you to do well. And when you get that feeling of love and something that you really want, that's a personal thing. And I just dove in head first. So I'm so appreciative that you've made it this far in my podcast series. I know that these episodes have been mainly about me and my backstory and like where I'm coming from and all those things. So I appreciate that you listen to them so that when we move forward, you will know like just different things about me so I don't have to like cover all those things in other episodes. I look forward to our journey together. Moving forward, there will be topics such as love and Lent and confession and angels and miracles, things like that. I'll have guests periodically. And I do really appreciate the people who have reached out to me and sent me emails and sent me texts and been supportive. And I love that you're doing that. Please continue to do that. It makes me feel really happy. I'm hoping that I'm filling a hole for people that, you know, to try to get Christ back in their life. And if anybody has anything they want to contact me about, you're welcome to do that. I appreciate it. And I'm getting ready to do a couple of speaking events, so I'm excited about that. So if that's something you have a group that might be interested in having me come talk, I would love to do that. So please don't hesitate. And I just love you and appreciate you. And thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. Now go out and be a bright light in someone's life. And remember, be focused, be faithful, and be fresh.